time, well, I wouldn't say the last time, the last one of the times that I spoke about how drinking and so on and so forth, I think people heard exactly what they wanted to hear that day too. And I'm thinking that if I was to have a sermon series on sex, which I probably will sometime this year, we would not only have a fuller house, but people would hear what they wanted to hear there too. So, you know, I know that once in a while, not everything I think I'm projecting gets across. But at the same time, I know that if they pick up even part of it, they picked up the part that God wants them to pick up, right? And I think as we start into our time this morning, Nate kind of thought that the name of the sermon this morning, Laid Bare, might give him some problems as he went on the internet to find something to put up there with it, an icon, so to speak, because, well, you know, if you're laid bare, you're bare. I mean, that's just the way it works. But we're going to talk about our souls, right? Not necessarily our bodies. We are going to talk about allowing God to see us for who we are. That's really what we're talking about. And so this morning, I want you to think about that idea of completely undressing your heart. Completely undressing your will, so to speak, to lay it before God in such a way as He can help you through the journey. Because I think as we go through this life journey of being a Christian, is as we look within our souls, we have to see what God sees. And I hate to tell you this. No, I don't. I want to tell you this. Because this is something we have to, one of those things that is a prerequisite. No matter what kind of mask we put on for other people, God sees through it. Okay? So either you're going to open it up to yourself, which would be a much easier thought process than having God open it up to you. I have found when I do things or don't want to do things or I allow myself to not follow what God wants me to do, He lays my heart open every time. And it causes pain. It causes change. Because He's going to make sure that we grow if we want to or not. But I've found that if we want to grow, if we want to have a life pleasing unto Him, and we strive for that, the lessons are much easier on us. The lessons may not go as deep the first time, but they're still easier on us. If God has to lay us bare open to see ourselves for who we are, many times we don't see that till we hit the bottom. And there's great pain at the bottom. But that's another sermon. Today we want to go to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was hungry. Now, I've read this before. And if you know your Bible at all, you know that He was just baptized by John the Baptist. He'd just come up out of the Jordan, and I have this idea that the Holy Spirit grabbed him by the ear and twisted it a little bit. Oh, hold it. No, that's a memory from my mom. But anyway, he led him out of the Jordan River, out into the wilderness for 40 days. And you know, a lot of times when you're reading through the Gospels, you get this idea that he fasted for 40 days. And nothing happened in those 40 days. He just fasted. I'm not sure that's what this is saying, because it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted. Now, if God sent his Son out into the wilderness for 40 days and fasted and allowed him to be tempted, don't you think that's going to happen to us? Don't you think that that is exactly why sometimes our lives don't go exactly the way we would like them to go? I mean, you can follow the Lord as close as you think you need to, and you believe you're in the right place. Christ had no sin. And he still went out into the wilderness. God made sure he was ready. God went with him. I'm sure the Holy Spirit didn't walk him out there to a cactus somewhere and say, "Okay, you just wander around here for 40 days. I'll be back when I get a minute." I don't think that's how it works. I don't think the Holy Spirit at any one time ever left Christ out there alone to run into his own demise. You know, the Bible tells us that we will not come to any temptation that we cannot, that is not humanly able to pass. And if it is more than we might be able to take care of, the Bible tells us that he'll give us a way out. There's a reason the Holy Spirit is with each and every one of us, and that is to help us through those times. As Christians, if we actually believe that we're going to go through this journey without temptations, without problems, without any hoorah going on, we're sadly mistaken. Because I think the reason that God sent Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted is to help us realize there's going to be those times when you think it's too tough. There's going to be those times when we have to call on God to take care of us. There are going to be those times that we're sure that he has turned away and walked away from us. That's part of growth. The sad part of it is that in most of our culture today, the idea of being a Christian has none of that in it. It doesn't have anything in it where it may cause us to stumble. It doesn't have anything in it where we might be tempted. Problem is, we give in way too often. I don't read books. Let's get real. I listen to it on CD. But anyway, I just got done with a book, and it was basically completely all about the opiate epidemic in the United States and how it worked and what caused it. And it was caused by one man writing one paragraph, and everybody took it for gospel. He wrote a paragraph, some Health magazine picked up that paragraph, stuck it in somebody else's story, or what, however you want to put that. It wasn't even in, he didn't write the whole thing. It's like a 5-page deal on opioids, yeah. And they take this and they stick it in there, and that's what everybody goes back to. Nobody even cares about the guy that wrote the whole article. His name never comes up. The only name that ever comes up is the guy that writes this one paragraph, and that's all he ever wrote. And all he was doing was writing down what he knew at that point when they first started making them and allowing people to take it. You know, we can go back into the early 70s or late 60s, and morphine was a major issue in the United States. But then everybody realized that you get addicted to it. So if you get addicted to it, we can't give that to people. And so this whole thing, then they turn around and tell us we can take all this, these opioids we want to take. And they cause their own epidemic in the United States. And people, the government, in their infamous wisdom, decided that pain should be one of those things that we should have our doctors use to see if we're doing okay. You know, it's kind of like our temperature or those kinds of things. If your pain's too high, we're going to give you whatever of these you need to make sure that you're happy. Well, long story short, when the welfare system kicked into this whole deal, they could buy these pills over the counter for $3-4 a piece with their card. And then they walked out on the street and they sold them for $1 a milligram of whatever was in them. If it was an 80 milligram dose, they got $80 for a pill that they only cost them $3 or $4. You see where this is headed? We caused our own problem. We are like that. We're humans. It's easy for us to get off track. It's easy for us to give in. And the weird part of this is people would be sent to clinics to get over this need, if you will. And before they could get back into their job, most of them, the day they got out, was already back into the problem. In fact, there was a lot of them would spend 30 to 45 days in rehab, walk out, and be dead the next morning from an overdose, because they took exactly what they took the last day they took. And I say all this is because once in a while as Christians, we try really hard. And sometimes we might try too hard. We want people to see us as we are. No. We want people to see us as we want them to see us. We want people to think we're good Christians. We've said we are, so we probably ought to act that way. If we are, we aren't. And see, I think that's why God sent Christ out into the wilderness. To help us realize that we need to go out there too. To help us realize that our growth and our ability to be strong in times of temptation is not because we are Christians. It is because God has helped us once before. And the more often we are tested, the more often we are tempted, the more often God has to reach down and help, the more hope we get. But we don't get that hope unless we actually know and understand that God helped us. See, I think many people, if they would really look back at their lives, from start to finish, and from the time that Christ began, or God began, to work on us, even before we decided that we was going to be Christians, while we were still under the influence of prevenient grace, if we'd really look at that, God put us in certain places at certain times and walked us away at the right time too. He guided us into temptation and guided us out. He allowed us maybe to even taste it a little bit and then guided us out. And as we go on this journey, as we lay our hearts bare before God, we have to be willing to listen to that Holy Spirit. We have to be willing to allow God to carry us, lead us out into the wilderness, into temptation, through the bad times, and then lead us home. Our Christian life should not be a bed of roses. It shouldn't be that I tell God that I want Him as my personal Savior and my life be perfect from that point on. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for Christ. Because we have someone here that never sinned and He went out there. He came to die on a cross for our sins, and God sent Him out there anyway. As soon as He was filled with the Holy Spirit. I think this morning we need to make sure that we have not decided we've made it. Decided that we are okay with God. John 16:13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." See, God sent the Holy Spirit just for that reason. He's only going to tell us what God wants us to hear. He's only going to tell us where we need help and where we don't, so to speak. But the point is, God sent Him to teach us. The Holy Spirit isn't here to condemn us. And I have to admit, once in a while, it feels that way. Once in a while, I have this gnawing thing in my heart that I have failed God in some way. And I'm ashamed of that. But that's not the Holy Spirit. I really believe that's temptation. I really think that's the devil wanting you to decide that it isn't worth it, or I'm not worth it, that I might as well just give up. I can't do this. But the Holy Spirit's always there to help us through, to help us grow, to help us be the people that God asks us to be. Not the people we think we ought to be. Not the mask that we put up in front of everyone. Because the more open, the more we lay our hearts bare before others, the more we grow. The more often we allow others into our temptations and trials, the more we grow, the more they grow. There's a lot of people in this world that I can guarantee you aren't Christians today because they honestly believe they cannot do what they think we've done. Because I think once in a while we put off that mask and we make it sound like we're better than we really ought to be. We put up that mask and we want people to think that everything is rosy in our corner. Somebody will ask you how you're doing. Oh, I'm doing wonderful. When inside your heart's just breaking. No, when we're on this journey, we're going to have those times where God leads us out and it is going to break your heart. It is going to make you want more than you have. Because God intended it that way. If it was all easy, if it was all simple, we'd all be Christians. You know, when Jesus talks about the sower and how he throws seeds out there on his field, and some fall on the path, and some fall in the weeds, and some fall on the rocks, and some fall on the good soil. That's us, people. That's how we take in that seed. It's how we actually work with the Holy Spirit to decide where we're at. We don't want to be those people on the path. We don't want to be those that lose it before we even really get it. And we don't want to be a flash in the pan. We don't want to spring up and do great things and then burn off because we don't have enough roots. And God never expected us to have that. No, he's going to lead us out into the wilderness. He's going to help us to grow out there. Because we're all fertile ground. If we're willing to let God till it. If we're willing to let the Holy Spirit speak to and through us. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine that we have out there. We thank you for all the great things that you give us. But this morning, Lord, we ask that you continue to lead us out into the wilderness. That you put temptation and trials in front of us. That you make sure that we walk through the fire, so to speak. That we might grow in strength and wisdom. That our hearts might become more like you. May you grow us to the point that our will is like your will. Help us to see temptation as another step forward, not a problem in our life. Help us realize that temptation is not sin. It's growth. And so, Lord, we just ask that you watch over us this next week. We ask that you walk with us, that you open up our hearts, lay them bare before us, that we can see you in all things and understand your will better. We ask this in your precious name.